nothing to do too. Her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While foreign affairs are screwing rotten, like morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace will be in trying.
From Studio E down here in Central Florida, I am your host, Steve Elkins, and this is Off the Beaten Path. Today's date is the 31st day of July, 2022. It's our last day. It's been a full week of news and sound bites, and news is being passed off as real news, much of which I would call fake news. Please visit the RBN website for great resource articles and provocative insight. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Share what you have learned. My email address is offthebeatenpathsteve@gmail.com. Phone lines, 512-248-8252. Let's hope we have a little more output, a little more activity than we had last week. We had a slow week last week. A lot of, you know, not many calls. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm here, so I'm hoping you're there too. So tonight I'm going to be dedicating this broadcast to all who seek the truth and dare to speak it. That means you, this listening audience, included myself there. I am not going to hold back. I never do hold back. It's probably why I have so few friends. I don't hold back. I call a spade a spade. Let's just call it a spade a spade. You know, if you don't like that, that's tough. Sometimes the truth is hard to handle, is it not? Last week, I talked about a neighbor. I had a nurse neighbor. He was on a cruise, Alaska, 10-day cruise, I believe it was, and she sickened a dog. Confined to her room because she's got COVID. Again, COVID for the fifth time. Now, this woman is boosted up, shot up to the yazoo here. She's got it all. And she texts me and says, I'm very angry. I don't understand. I've done everything they've told me. I've taken the shots. I've taken the boosters. I'm sick again with COVID for the fifth time. I think myself, you know, it's time. I think she's ready now. Earlier on, many, you know, about maybe 6 months ago, I heard her talking to her father and realized, nah, she's drinking Kool-Aid here. There's no way to intervene and bring her information. She's locked in to this thinking that the government's telling her the truth, the FDA, the CDC. These are all credible government agencies that are going to tell you the truth, and they wouldn't lie to me. Why would they lie to me? Why would they lie to me, Steve? So I thought the timing was right. I said, maybe when you get back, maybe we should sit down and have a little talk, and I can clue you in on some information that's been suppressed by the mainstream media. Let's talk. And here's a couple of people you probably want to get to know. Dr. Nina Simone Gold. And people like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Cole, Ryan Cole. There's many others, but I'm going to put you on to two right now. I'm going to put you on to Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Malone. Get to look up their videos, their lectures, their articles. Read them. And then we can talk. So I sent her over. At the time I was texting her back, I was getting a text from Dr. McCullough sending me something. He says, Steve, check this out. I just did this. What do you think? So he sends it over to me. I look at it. So, great stuff. Okay, good information. I'll share that with the listening audience. I'll share that with this nurse. So I send it over there. I text it over to her, forward it over, and she writes back, never heard of this guy. That was it. Pretty much cold. Cold. Never heard of him. Well, I guess Steve is a conspiracy theorist, a tin foil hat wearing person. And you think at this point in the stage of the game, being sick five times with COVID, you think maybe you might want to look outside of your focus, where you've been directed, who's been giving you bad information. You think you want to look outside that, step off the beaten path there maybe, huh? What do you think? Step off the beaten path. Get off that pathway. Look for something else to, you know, to give you information on what's going on here, because you're following people, you're following these agencies, and you're getting sick. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I go back to the very beginning. They were doing this sales pitch of COVID that it was 95.4% effective. That's pretty dang good if it were true. It turned out not to be true. Not even close. Not even close. Their effectiveness probably followed the percentages of their phony flu vaccines. And that's around 16, 17%. I don't think I've ever seen the flu vaccine ever crack 25%. It's garbage. It's total garbage, but it makes money. It makes money because they travel the focus of fear. Fear. Fear, sick, dying. Show you pictures of ICU, people on ventilators. Scare the hell out of you into complying, because people in fear do not think anymore. They don't think. They just follow. Perfect little sheeple, aren't they? So I thought she might be ready, but I got the cold shoulder, and I don't think I'll ever hear from her again, and that's fine with me. I've pretty much closed the door on this one here. I've decided I suck at playing Jesus. I really do suck at it. There's nothing worse than trying really hard to make a difference, and then somebody says, you know, no. It's not so much that they say no, it's the way they say it. They come back and make you look like a fool. They kind of insult you. So, yeah, you keep doing what you're doing, because yeah, that seems to be really working out well for you. Take number six shot, take a couple more boosters. There you go. I'm done. I'm out of this game. I shared this frustration with Dr. Peter McCullough. He said, you know, be strong, be vigilant, be strong. But there's a time to say that's enough. You know, you kind of throw in the towel. It's a dead end. There's no purpose anymore. If somebody's got their mind closed and they don't want to listen, they don't want to listen. That's fine. Keep your head in the sand. Keep doing what you're doing. That seems to be working out really well for you. I never saw this to happen. Like I said, I was taking care of this older gentleman behind me, feeding him, cooking for him. It all worked out. Well, it all didn't work out. It was a total disaster, train wreck. Just last week, getting some smart mouth from the guy that I helped so much. I can't believe this. And I finally said, that's it. I looked at my wife. I said, geez, I guess that's it. I'm done here. And she goes, yeah, you did nice things for this guy. You helped him out. And now he's looking a gift horse in the mouth and everything. You know, I didn't do good enough. I did this for him, but it wasn't good enough. Can you imagine that? Getting something for free, getting food, free food. Like I'm a restaurant, free food. I bring it over. And the guy comes, you know, well, it was okay. I didn't really like it that much. A little too spicy or a little this or that. That's it. Done. I it's a hard thing to pull away from when you're used to helping people. And you do, and you get in this mode of, well, that's what we're here for. We're here to help other people. But you get kicked enough times, and you kind of lose that incentive, that earning to say, you know what, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to help this guy. I'm going to help this guy. And I hate to say that. I don't want to discourage people from helping other people. Don't get me wrong. But I guess engage brain first more than heart, because the brain seems to pick out those people that are just there to use you and take advantage of you and later on kick you by the curbside. That's kind of where I feel like I've been. I've been kicked to the curbside for being a good guy and helping somebody. So I'm done. We had a fence, connecting fence with a gate so he can come back and forth. If he needed something or needed me to help him with something, I could come through the other side to help him. I had enough, and I finally said, you know, if you want to put a lock on that gate, that's fine with me. If not, I'll put a lock on it for you. And left it to that. I haven't heard a word since. That's been over a week now. But again, I play Jesus and I sucked at it, so I kind of give up for a while. I'm going to tend to my own, take care of myself, my wife, my only daughter, my grandchildren, do what I can there to help. And keep coming here on Sundays and Mondays with some information. I hope I get people to think, start thinking, looking outside the box. Really important to do that. Well, we got school starting here pretty soon at the store today, and kids picking out supplies and stuff. And makes me wonder if the masks are coming back. Of course, they're playing up monkeypox really good right now everywhere. Monkeypox, monkeypox. Two children in the United States, as far as I know, it's still at two, could be more, but that's nothing. That's nothing in numbers. Two children with monkeypox. They're talking about, well, in L.A., they're going to start up masks again. Masks. Social distancing schools. That's nice. Damage the children just a little bit more. Afraid of COVID, and now they're afraid of monkeypox. What's next? So I don't know if there's going to be a domino effect or just kooky California is going to be stuck, you know, starting up the masks again. I have no clue if this is going to be a domino effect type situation here. But I know our governor down here is not going to force the issue. Want to wear a mask, wear a mask. Other than that, nah, we're not going back there. You know what? Don't return to what was not successful before. It's a pretty good theory. It's a pretty good philosophy to follow. If it didn't work, why would you return back to it? Again, people engaging, not engaging brain, following fear rather than science and the failures of past policies. Here you have policies put into place, mandates, you'll do this, do this, do this, and nothing changes. And so at some point in time, you should be saying, well, that didn't work. So why are we going to go back to it? Why are we going back to it again? Can you give me some logic? Can you give me some science? No, I can't give you any of that. Matter of fact, when the science isn't there, you just avoid it. You look the other way. Continue on with the narrative of false narrative, and you continue to convince people that what you're telling them is the truth, and to restart wearing masks and social distancing. I think it's sad. I think it's very sad. I see the children, very young children in the stores wearing masks, and I'm sad. I'm very sad that a four-year-old, five-year-old child in a cart is wearing a mask. I just can't imagine doing that to a child, you know, seeing the facial expressions, the smile, that's so important in growing up for a child. And these children are all covered up. They can't see other children's faces, their mouth, nothing. That's just the eyes. Sad, very sad. So we have a recession going on, I guess. I don't know. The White House says, well, really, does that matter? Recession, not a recession, does it really matter? Well, yeah, it kind of does. But you've noticed this White House press secretary, probably the dumbest White House press secretary I think I've ever seen. And I despised Jen Psaki. Don't get me wrong. I despise that woman. You look at her and you just say, okay, what's the next lie you're going to tell? The next lie. Plus, on top of it, that fire engine red hair, a very unattractive woman, very unattractive woman. And then when she started to tell the lies, I started to dislike her even more so. But now you've got this black lesbian diversity candidate here, gets the job of White House press secretary, who gets up there, who can't read a teleprompter evidently, or somebody's setting her up, one or the other. Either she's stupid or she doesn't know how to read a teleprompter. But now she's trying to redefine the terms of what a recession is. Pretty much all economists will tell you recession is two consecutive declines in the gross domestic product per quarter. That would be a recession. She comes back and says, well, we don't look at those things. We don't look at that criteria to determine a recession. And she jumps right into what supposedly Joe Biden has done for this country since he came into office. He's brought us 9 million more jobs. Forget the 25 million plus that you destroyed with your shutdowns, your economic shutdown because of this plandemic, scandemic called COVID. He's talking about 3.6% unemployment. That's a lie. Another government lie on a number. What else is he talking about? What great strides has Joe Biden given us? Before they actually talked about this recession now, he talked about a very strong economy. Our dollar is very strong. How is our dollar very strong? Explain that to me. If you run printing presses and you're running off money continuously, 24/7, printing off money, you're not making your dollar stronger, you're making your dollar weaker. You're devaluating the dollar. So don't tell me the dollar is strong. Then you want to raise the debt ceiling. Why raise the debt ceiling? Well, we've overspent. So you're not confined to a budget, correct? I'm confined to a budget. You're confined to a budget. Our government is not confined to a budget. No, we overspent. We don't have enough money. Let's just print some money up here. And as AOC says, you just pay for it. I guess that's what she was referring to. You just run the printing presses and you make money up and you pay bills with this monopoly money. Here, take some of these things. Yeah, here, you'll need a little more. Here's a little bit more because it's not worth as much as it used to be. Here's more. But you continue down that pathway of running printing presses. You devaluate the dollar. So let's forget about a strong economy. It's not there. We're in a recession. We're in a deep recession. Just the other day, our fuel has come down in price. Wow. We were paying $4.88 a gallon for regular gasoline. It's $3.74 now. You know what's funny is that they've jacked it up so high, and then when they do finally bring it down, and it's still way out of line where it should be, you say, oh, wow, that's good. It's come down. And under Donald Trump, which I am not a Trump fan, we were nowhere near $3.74 a gallon. I believe at the time, I remember $1.74 a gallon when Donald Trump was president. I'm going to say one thing, that I'm not a Trump fan, but if Trump were to get back, I would hold him to reestablish, get the pipelines running again here, start drilling, get back to being energy secured. Get that going again. I would be okay for that. If he did that, just demolished everything Biden green, demolish it, trash it. It's a fraud. It's a lie anyway. Trash it. Start redrilling. Open the Keystone Pipeline back up. Get to drilling. Get those prices down. Try to get some manufacturing back to this country again here. You shouldn't be dependent on China for every darn thing. But I hold the politicians accountable for that. I don't hold the president accountable for that. He's got to fix the problems that the politicians started by offshoring and allowing corporate entities to offshore for lower prices, lower wages, everything. I mean, they came back gangbusters, making huge profits, and they are the responsible ones. But the politicians let it happen on their clock.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Recession, a deep recession here. And again, redefining the terms, what is a recession here? They're looking for other things to determine what really a recession is. They're saying, look what you see out there, that the positive things, don't look at this instead. But we all know, economists know of what a true recession is. So the, if they're redefining of what a recession is, well, are we surprised? They've redefined what a vaccine is. Yes, they've redefined what a woman is. I mean, it's not a long shot to say, let's redefine what a recession is. Let's get our rear end out of a jam here, and let's find some gray area. It's always looking for gray area. Gray area to get yourself out of a jam here. Don't take responsibility. This guy, the buck stops here, has never been with Joe Biden, no doubt about it. Never been there. So let's redefine the terms, that therefore something else will be to blame. Blame Russia. What's Russia's fault? All this is Russia's fault. No, it's not. This is an inept administration, not prepared. This is the worst we've ever seen it. This is the worst, I hate to say presidency, I'll use the word only because that is what he's fraudulent to, being the president of the United States. He is a fraud. But this is what happens to frauds. And we talked about this last week. People who are ill-prepared for a job, who lied on the resume, got the job, and when they get into the job, you realize this guy doesn't have the experience. isn't what he's doing. So he looked back at the resume and realized they fudged on everything to get the job. Well, in that case, well, what do? You fire him. Can we not fire Joe Biden? Sure we can. On many reasons. There's many reasons to get rid of this guy. He is the enemy within. He's tearing down this country here with open borders, giving illegals that come in now ID cards so they can, what, get benefits? Sure. What other benefits are you going to give them, Joe? Oh, you're going to let them vote. That's what you think you're going to do. You're going to allow them to vote. That's how you want to win. When you can't win on your own policies, you cheat. That's exactly what they do. They cheat. So they're redefining the terms. Recession, vaccine, what a woman is. Don't be surprised here. What I did find quite interesting this week, I was watching the markets quite a bit. I watched the Baltic Dry Index. Of course, that's a global economic indicator telling us how manufacturing is doing. It's telling us that the manufacturer is ordering raw material supplies, that he's doing all right because he's making orders and they're coming in. But the problem is they're stuck in harbor most of the time. We've got a logjam of ships out at sea here that's not getting in. So nobody's going to be putting in another order in if they haven't received their past order. So the Baltic Dry Index number is a phony number. It's a phony number, flat out. It's a fallacy. So I see the Baltic Dry Index is dropping. It's dropping. It's dropping. And we just got the big numbers on the White House saying, well, you know, things aren't looking good, inflation and fuel and this and that. But they don't want to talk the word recession. They don't want to say recession, but you're saying recession, okay? So at the same time, they're talking about the negative impact on the economy here, inflation. What does Wall Street do? You think you hear bad news like that. Of course, they already know it's bad news. They know the numbers. They know really what's going on here. What does the market do? It goes up. The Baltic Dry Index goes down. The markets, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, the Dow all go up. Well, how is that possible? What's going on here? Well, what's going on here is the continuance of QE, quantitative easing. That's exactly what's going on. The problem that got you in this mess, printing up money, handing it over to Wall Street to keep everything hyperinflated so the market stays stable and if people stay invested in the stock market here, all that quantitative easing money you're pumping into Wall Street, which caused everything to go haywire with inflation, that's your solution. That's your solution. The problem that got you there is now the solution to keep you afloat. So how much longer can you continue to keep printing money up? Quantitative easing. When are they going to finally pull the plug? They are going to pull the plug. I think it's very soon. Very soon. They can't continue it. They can do a restart, and the restart will be what? A digital currency. And we're paper money anymore. You swipe your card. I think pretty much most transactions, I'd say 90% of transactions now at the grocery stores are all swipe your card, money taken from your account. They come up with this phony idea that we have a change shortage. Are you serious? You don't have a money paper shortage. Why do you have a coin shortage? Because we don't want to make change because we're going to the digital currency. That's why. Fraud.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
The other day, trying to see how bad the housing market is in California. And I remember moving there in 2008 before I decided to actually stay and build a house or buy a house. Decided to rent for a little while, get to know the area, figure out where I wanted to be, Santa Rosa, Windsor, wherever I wanted to be, Rohnert Park. And so we rented a place in Santa Rosa, kind of a spacious two-bedroom apartment. Harvest Park was the name of the place. $1,600 a month in 2008. $1,600 a month. That's quite a bit for an apartment. California, but the wages are a little higher. So you say, well, I'm making more money. So $1,600 is not so bad. Two incomes, not a problem. We can do this, not a problem. Just out of curiosity, I wanted to see what that apartment now goes for. A two-bedroom, that same two-bedroom in the same complex, Harvest Park, is $2,295. The average price to pay in Santa Rosa now is $2,200 on average. Most apartments are $2,200 a month. And you got to factor in the electricity and your food bills and everything else and your cable, of course, all that stuff you need. I don't know where the money's coming from because the wages are not there. The wages are stagnant. Wages are not there. I've started thinking about employers giving, you know, the employee says, you know, I can't make it. I'm paycheck to paycheck. I'm paycheck to paycheck. The employers understand that if they start chasing inflation and compensating their employee, first of all, how much can you actually pass off to your customer base? How much can you really pass off to the customer for higher inflation? Oh, you got transportation costs now that are much higher because of the fuel costs. And so maybe you gave raises, maybe you didn't give raises, but if somebody comes to you now, I want a raise, bad timing, first of all, because I'll have to figure a way to put that into the product price to the consumer. How much is the consumer willing to pay for a cheeseburger, a quarter pounder, a Big Mac? How much? You can't do it. There's a certain point where you say you have to eat the cost. So you're not going to give raises. You're not going to follow inflation. You're going to tell your employee, sorry, I can't help you out here. I know inflation is going up more than 4% per year. I know where you are, but I can't help you. If I start helping you, and he's not going to say this, but he's thinking this. If I help you now and follow inflation with giving you higher wages, if for some reason this all turns around and is fixed somewhere down the line here, I'll be held to keeping your wage right here at the high point, even though the economy has turned, inflation has gone down. I can't do that. I can't take back what I've given you. So why give you? It's not going to happen. Corporations are greedy. They're not going to do this. They're not going to follow inflation for their employees. They're going to say, suck it up. They're going to say, go to your savings accounts. And I'm sure a lot of people are doing just that. They're going through their savings very fast. There's a mass exodus from California. The wealthy people already figured it out. If they stay, they're going to get squeezed for taxes. They're getting the heck out. I'm waiting for the big bang here of when most everybody's going to finally wake up to this scam that the economy is going to get worse and worse. California, inflation is going to go through the roof. Illegals are going to get benefits. You're going to pay for them. You're going to pay for their hospitalizations. You're going to pay for their children. You're going to pay for their schooling. You're going to pay for all this. So why do you want to live in a state where you're quality of life, your standard of living goes down and theirs goes up? Why would you want to stay with that? That's why I left. That's exactly why I left California in 2017. I saw the writing on the wall. I could not defeat these people. I could not defeat these people. As hard as I tried with others at Eagle Forum, the meetings, the taking on the town councils, I could not defeat these people. There is no rule of law. They thumbed their nose at Donald Trump, his federal immigration policy, which, you know what, I would have loved, don't know why, he had a great opportunity here. He had a great Ronald Reagan opportunity here. Do you remember when Ronald Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers, PATCO? Do you remember when that happened? They threatened to walk out and basically go on strike here, and we're going to shut down air travel. We're going to make you stay home. You can't travel. Businesses couldn't do their work. Basically, we're going to hold you over a barrel here. We're going to make your lives miserable until you give us what we want. Well, Reagan gave a couple warnings. Get back to work or you're going to be fired. I think he said it twice. And then he carried out the action of actually firing these air traffic controllers, and he broke the union. He busted their back. PATCO is no more. PATCO is gone. I'm sure there might be another union, but PATCO is gone. Donald Trump had a perfect opportunity to use the federal immigration law to break the backs of these governors, these mayors of these cities who were breaking federal immigration law. He had an opportunity. Boy, what an opportunity. I would have taken it. He could have said federal marshals there. He could have jailed mayors. He could have jailed governors. It would have trickled down effect to the state, to these town councils. It would have stopped all this nonsense of sanctuary cities. He missed a grand opportunity. And so I wonder what kind of president would he be if he came back? Great opportunity. You didn't take it. Why didn't you take it? Could have set National Guard here. You could have shut down the... You could have built the wall. But you asked for permission. to protect the country. You ask for permission to build a wall to protect the country. Amazing. You write executive order, you get the wall built, you're a president. You're a stand-up guy. He was asking for permission and the money allocated. Well, do you see Biden asking for permission? Yeah, he's got the money. Wherever he gets the money, whether he's printing it up or not. He gets what he wants. Donald Trump asked for permission to build a wall. Not very presidential. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what's going to change if he gets back in. Like I said, I would be happy if he got in. I'm not going to vote. I'm done. I'm done with this con thing of voting and standing in line and my vote doesn't count. I saw the flip. But if he gets in, the first thing he should do is kickstart our energy sector here and get the oil back flowing here and bring down prices and try to bring back manufacturing to this country. But I still think he's going to be facing the same problems he did in his first term as he will in the second term. I don't know what's going to change. You know, I'd like to ask James Kelso that. James, what do you think is going to change different in the second term versus the first term? He still has rhinos that hate him. He has Democrats that hate him. He still has the same enemies in the mainstream media. What's going to change? What is going to change? He's going to be fighting the same 4 years, putting out the fires, the legal challenges, digging through his finances, his personal stuff, whatever they're going to do. More impeachments. There's going to be one or two more impeachments. They're going to ramp it up even harder this time around than they did the first time. So what's going to change? How are we going to get this country fixed? How are we going to get it back in the way we used to be, at least halfway decent? How are we going to get back if we have a man in office who's fighting personal battles against the people that despise and hate him? How can we fix this country? Well, that's why a lot of people are looking at Ron DeSantis, maybe to come in instead. I don't know. I hate to think of him leaving Florida because he's done a pretty good job down here. But if he could extend that reach of what he's done here in Florida to protect my rights, our rights, and put that on a national basis here, I'd be all right with that. I would be all right with that. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I think they may have cut a deal that DeSantis will not come into any kind of race for the presidency until 2028. Right now, the percentages of polling clearly show that Donald Trump is far ahead, like 56, 57% to like 16%. That's only because I think Ron DeSantis is not a serious contender. And people poll that way also. If he's not really serious, well, I'm not going to give him much attention to that. So he would poll much lower than Donald Trump. He's clearly probably throwing his hat in the ring here pretty soon. The Democrats have tried everything they can with this January 6th. I call it the Omission Commission. Liz Cheney believes that she might have a chance at the presidency in 2024. Are you serious? I hate you. I hate you in Wyoming. I hate you. You couldn't get a job as a janitor in a school mopping up puke and cleaning toilets. You're that hated. So no, I don't know where that delusion comes from that she thinks she might throw her hat in the ring for 2024. That's clearly delusional. But the Democrats have tried everything to derail Donald Trump. 23-year-old coffee gopher. Secret Service grabbing the wheel from the back seat, which is impossible. Throwing ketchup against the wall. I don't know why that's could be possible. Mental derangement to, you know, disqualify somebody for the presidency. But they tried everything they could, and they can't find anything, really. Because they know by the rule of law, they don't have anything. They don't have insurrection. They don't have a command to go to the Capitol and break in. They don't have any of this. Peacefully assemble, make your voices be heard. They don't have it. So now, this is really a stretch for these people, but they're now looking at the 25th Amendment. Using the 25th Amendment to prevent Donald Trump from coming back in the race in 2024. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. The 25th Amendment only applies for a sitting president. But they'll probably come back and say, well, he sits. He sits down all the time. So he's sitting. We can come after him. But there's nothing there. Again, another long stretch trying to find the 25th Amendment, how it might pertain to Donald Trump, his level of cognition here, his degree of mentally incapacitated, whatever he is, we're going to disqualify him because he's not there. So we'll use the 25th Amendment. You can't. It doesn't work. It only applies to a sitting president. So again, another long stretch there. 25th Amendment on Donald Trump. It does apply to Joe Biden. We can show that in many, many areas, Joe Biden is not there. He's not there. Now, we've seen a lot of these forensic audits all over the country now. Arizona clearly shows fraud. Colorado clearly shows fraud. Pennsylvania clearly shows fraud. 2,000 mules open the door. And I think many states now are being forced to do their forensic audit. Are they going to stretch this out? They're going to roll this out over time. They're going to take their time doing it. Of course, if it's a Democrat state, of course, they're going to drag their heels on this one here. But the point would be is to say, okay, we have to overturn this. Do we have enough time yet to throw him out and bring Donald Trump back in? Or how is this going to work? So you figure it out through forensic audits that the audit showed that it was stolen, flat out fraud, ballot harvesting, drop boxes, mules, you name it, and computer flipping, Dominion and Smartmatic. So you figure it all out. It's all fraud. He should have never won. I mean, the amount of votes that he won by, more than any other Democrat president ever in history. I think that really tweaked Obama there. He was pretty pissed about that little thing. That made him mad, but he kept his mouth shut on it. Followed the game. So what's going to change? Are they really going to flip things over and come back and say, well, you didn't win that state. You didn't win the state after a while. And there, by the way, the Electoral College votes now are showing that Donald Trump did win it, but he only has another year left, so we're not going to stop things. We're going to allow him to finish up his last year in fraud that everybody in the world knows. It's fraud, so we'll let you finish up your term. I mean, where are we at now with this? To acknowledge fraud and then say, well, next time it'll be fair, and we're promised to do this and this and this, and we'll make it fair next time. Is that where we are? To look the other way for a little while, to say, well, the next time we'll make sure we make it even, and we'll make it fair. That doesn't cut it. Along with forensic audits, there now needs to be investigations into all parties that conspired. This is your true conspiracy right here. A conspiracy of many people to defraud the people here in this election. Now you've got a true conspiracy, and now you need to do investigations, and now people need to be punished. God, we got fraud everywhere we look, don't we? Fraud with elections, fraud with COVID. Everything seems to be fraud these days. Just the other day, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, the last 2 years, I've never seen the head popping up of Satan more than I ever have in the last 2 years. I've seen devilish things. I've seen some terrible things over the years. But for some reason, the last 2 years, it seems to be more prevalent. It's out there. It's bold. It's in your face. They prance around, and it doesn't seem to matter. I don't understand why the people are they desensitized? Are they brainwashed to Satan? I don't know, but I've never seen more devilish actions, policies in the last 2 years that I ever have in my life, ever. I've never seen the face of Satan more than I ever have in the last 2 years. Which goes back to this neighbor of mine who believes in the FDA, the CDCP, believes in them. I don't get it. I don't get it. You've been lied to. You've been conned to. When are people going to wake up? You know, there's a do-over. Sometimes you get lucky enough, you screw up in your life, you screw something up, you get a chance to do a do-over. In these COVID shots, you probably don't. I know the different lot numbers, the different strengths, different dosages. That's all going to be pertinent later on in the future here in the kill-off of Americans next couple of years. Those who took a small amount and they never took another one again, ever, another booster, nothing. They only took one shot and it was from a lot number that had a very low dosage. You might get lucky. You might get lucky on that one. But the people who have taken heavier doses and the repeated accumulation of the COVID ingredients, the shots, are not going to fare well. We're going to see a die-off in a couple of years. Which brings me to back when I went to college. I took a class in folklore. And we talked about cemeteries. Some people really like cemeteries. My wife likes cemeteries. I don't know why. But I took this class. And we were talking about the tombstones, the headstones. I think they call them tombstones now. They were headstones back in the day. But sometimes you can walk through a cemetery, especially the older cemeteries, and you can actually look at the headstones and it will tell you a story of that person's life. There's all kinds of symbolism there. It's pretty amazing stuff. I actually downloaded a whole section, a whole couple sheets of symbolism on tombstones, headstones, and you can walk through and say, look, there's the chain link. Chain links. Oh, it's a broken link. There's so much interesting stories to be told in the cemetery. And what I used to remember was these old cemeteries I walked in, I could always point out the young mother that died during childbirth. Oh, look, this one here, young woman died. Oh, sometimes even with baby down below, baby died too. Childbirth. We're going to be walking through cemeteries in a couple years from now. And we're going to be seeing young people that died. Now, if it's not from suicide, it's got to be from something. What have we added? We've added shots. We are going to see these headstones. We're going to say, wow, look, young person, young person, young person, young person. Wow, we have like a decade of young people dying, starting in their teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. You're going to see a die-off. You're going to see obituaries that look like a telephone book. And I told my wife, I said, how would they cover that up? You know what they're probably going to do? They'll probably, you know, of course, you put in all the words you want for the obituary for the loved one that you lost, and they'll simply take out the age. Unless you're an old, they'll put the age in for you if you're an old person. If you're a young person, they'll take the age out. So you'll be reading obituaries, and so-and-so died, and you go, wow, oh, this guy died. Oh, I wonder how old he was. I don't know. There's no age listed. They'll take the age out. So you don't put the pieces of the puzzle together saying, I've got a phone book here of obituaries and look at all these young people that are dead. Look at the ages. You won't be able to put it together. They're going to try to find some way to hide the fact that young people are just dying. They're just dying. That's why they created SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. They had to have something to point to say, yes, young people just die. They just die. Really, how come so many are dying and so close together? Five doctors from Ontario Hospital, the recent one a couple days ago, 27-year-old triathlete, female. She was training. She dies. Mandated COVID shots in that hospital. She is the fifth doctor to die in that hospital. I sent that right over to Dr. McCullough. I said, in case you don't know, I'm sure you probably do, but look at this. They're going to claim it's SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, and you and I know what it is. It's SADS. It's shot-associated death syndrome. Healthy people dying. Myocarditis, left-sided heart failure, all kinds of anomalies. This is terrible. And we can't seem to turn it off because we can't get to the mainstream media to even get this on the air to say, this is happening, this is happening. It's going to be when it's so obvious you can't ignore it. When you start seeing the hearse, Dad used to call it the meat wagon, on the street there. Wow, there's another one, another hearse, another hearse, another hearse. And truly, you're going to actually see refrigerator trucks behind mortuaries because they're going to have so many bodies, they don't know what to do. The lie you were told about the hospitals, about these refrigerator trucks, you're actually going to see those because they're not going to have the capacity to hold it in the morgue. They're going to have so many young people dying. I don't know what to say. There's no do-over. Some people get lucky, others won't. There is no do-over on this one here. There's no do-over. It's going to be horrific. I just can't even imagine the mass of death that's going to be coming soon. I don't even know how they're going to get rid of these bodies. I don't know. I wonder sometimes if we track these politicians, they probably know everything what's going down pretty soon anyway. But I'd like to see what they're vested in, their stock holdings. The Batesville Casket Company, anything associated with death, embalming fluid, you name it. Anything associated with the death industry, in the industry of death, I'd like to see what their stock holdings are. I'd like to see what Nancy Pelosi's husband stock holdings would be in the death machine. I wouldn't be surprised. We already know the insider trading for this family. We know it. We've known this for a long time. It's insider trading with Wall Street, with politicians is nothing new. They've always had the ability. And you're asking for honesty here, and they're doing legislation, giving inside tips, investing. This is how they become millionaires. With a salary of $174,000 a year, this is how they become millionaires. I mean, this is not rocket science. Think about it. Insider trading. Second hour coming up.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.